Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. We have a band that is going to be playing The Off-Ramp and Hash After the Bash presents Green Apple Quickstep, The Lemons, L. Steiner, Action Buddy, an old school reunion of sorts down at the old off-ramp, otherwise known as El Corazon. That's coming up Saturday, October 7th. That is next Saturday. And we have Green Apple Quickstep in studio. My bad. How you guys doing?
Mm. So far, so good. How are you?
Yeah, doing good,
great,
other than
hello.
Botching your name, you know? So
just butchered immediately.
Yeah. Let's go around the room, introduce yourself and what you do and what you will be doing in Green Apple Quickstep.
I'm Jeff Redding, and I'll be playing the drums with Green Apple Quickstep.
Awesome.
My name's Ty, and I will be singing with the Green Apple Quickstep.
My name's Steve. I play guitar with the Green Apple Quickstep.
Right on. And who are we missing tonight?
Mary Ann, bass player, and Dan, guitar player.
And Mary Ann, they don't live in Seattle, so okay. Yeah. We're minus them.
Where are they living at these days?
Dan moved to Portugal.
Wow.
Emigrate, yeah.
And Mary Ann lives Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Eastern Washington.
Awesome. So is this, how long has it been since Green Apples played together?
I think 4 years we played the Crocodile.
Yeah.
And then we played with Candlebox.
Yeah.
At the Paramount.
With Sweetwater.
Yeah, with Sweetwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it had been a couple decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're new on the scene.
Since the 90s.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, that initial, after, you know, a few decades of being, not playing together and... What brought you guys back? Did you guys kind of just run into each other? Was it just a conversation about?
No, it was Kevin Martin from Candlebox. He was doing what was that, 25th anniversary? Or
I think so.
Yeah, and he just wanted he asked if Green Apple could play and if I could put the band together, and everyone was into it, so.
That's awesome.
That's where it started, and we played a couple shows since.
So we can thank Kevin Martin for this. Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Right on. Well, you know, if we don't mind, let's go into a little bit of the origin story, if we can, dig up some skeletons of the past. So who remembers, like, day one? Like, who was the member, or were you guys all founding members?
Steve and Dan.
Okay, awesome.
It was Tacoma. And it was called Inspector Love and the Ride Me Babies. I think that was
the band. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they actually had another singer.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Inspector Love as well.
And this was 1988.
Yeah,
or 89.
87 could have been 87.
Because we played shows with you guys at Squid Row.
All right.
Sled.
Sled.
Well, they had another singer. I went to a party. I don't know if you know this. I went to a party in Browns Point.
Where I remember that.
You do?
Yeah.
It was
Ken was the singer.
Ken was the singer, yeah. And I went downstairs outside, and I was like, I think I started to try to sing, too. I had never sang before. But that was where it started, pretty much, I think, yeah.
And so you just kind of just tried, and it worked?
I was outside by myself.
Yeah.
I had never sang before,
yeah.
And I just... I don't know. I tried, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I ran into you guys again, and you said...
Yeah, it didn't work out with Ken, and then somehow you, like, just showed up and sang, and were like, wow, Ty's great. Good voice.
I don't know if I was great, but...
You're great.
I weaseled my way.
Sure.
You're a very, very nice man. And
thank you.
We brought you in.
Did anybody hear you when you were yourself?
No, you were a singer who just really went for it and just experimented, and
yeah,
we like that, you know.
Yeah, it worked out for the most part.
That was Tacoma, and then we moved to Seattle.
Okay.
And, to make it big.
Yeah. And, a lot of bands were doing that, right?
Well, this was 1989.
Okay, so it was a little bit before that.
It was right before the, you know, explosion of a lot of bands. And, you know, that band, we had a manager and, like, almost had a record deal, and then we didn't. And then we got a different bass player, Marianne, and it was pretty much the same band as Inspector Love.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then that took off. I think, you know, Marianne was the missing
ingredient. Nice.
Made the magic happen.
Yeah.
Why didn't Inspector Love get a deal?
I think we did. Island
I
Records.
I think we were good enough, man.
Yeah. There's like, oh my God. Not the bass player necessarily. And who was the drummer in Inspector Love?
Same drummer. It was Bob. Bob.
It was
Mink.
Bob. So Dylan, Inspector Love.
He was prior to.
Before Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. These are questions I wanted to know.
Yes. Hey, yeah. Help me out, dude. I'll leave. Sure. Yeah, you can do the interview, bro. So, Green Apple Quicksand. How did it come about? And you know, who came up with the name?
Yeah.
So it's a clever name.
Yeah. It was my dad, actually.
Okay.
And it's actually a saying, Green Apple Quicksand. A green apple tree in our front yard.
Uh-huh.
And I would climb up there and eat four or five of them.
Nice.
And when you do that, the runs.
Oh.
That's what Green Apple Quick Steps. Very stupid.
Yeah. Okay.
But it like worked it. Out for us.
I like it.
Yes.
So how soon after moving to Seattle did you guys kind of gain some, and then you guys actually did get signed and made a run for it and put out some records and, you know. But how long did it take till you guys kind of got some momentum behind you?
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, you know, because it's been so many years now, it happened quite fast, you know, over a couple of years. But, you know, when you're like 21 years old, like, we're just running around the city.
Yeah.
Taking whatever gigs we could get and just trying really hard and really believing in it. And I don't know. I guess maybe we just had the right attitude and it worked out.
At the time, too, it was, you know, in the city, everything was kind of blowing up, starting to, anyways,
mm-hmm.
with Love Bone and Soundgarden.
You guys were in the ground floor. For sure.
Yep.
First time you came up to KIS, Kathy Faulkner, was it with Damon Stewart? Who was the host that brought you guys up? Do you remember?
Probably Damon.
Damon. Yeah, shout out to Damon.
Yeah.
Big shout out.
That's awesome. He's going to be hosting the concert. Again, the concert is going down Saturday, October 7th, and we're talking with Green Apple Quickstep here on Loud and Local with the Lemons, L. Steiner, and Action Buddy, and tell me, what's Hash After the Bash? Because I've seen that before referred to. What is Hash After the Bash?
That is, this is kind of, it's eggs. Eggs and
potatoes.
It's hash browns, eggs, and black coffee. And they would serve it at the end of the night at the off ramp.
For 50 cents.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
50 cents to encourage people to, like, sober up
and get
totally
home.
Sober.
Okay,
yeah.
That's cool.
You get a double plate for a dollar.
I thought it was literally people just smoking hash, but, you know.
People, I would make sure to go there, even if I wasn't seeing a show or playing, go there and eat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're a starving musician, you're like a dollar and you can have, like, this giant plate of food before you go to bed.
Giant Becco.
Yeah,
I remember that. Right.
Man, we got to get that.
Yeah, but they're going to do.
Oh, they are?
They're going to have the hash after the bash.
Never mind.
Except for there's one difference. It's
Nine. Yeah, it's not 50 cents.
It's $20 a plate.
So fast forward a bunch of years, and you guys make it to Beavis and Butthead. What was your reaction when you saw you guys got the Beavis and Butthead treatment?
Wow.
Were you nervous? Like, how are they going to roast us, dude?
They didn't really roast us. They weren't super nice either. It was cool that they were talking to me.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't just despite so many other bands.
Yeah.
Like Winger. Well, they totally sunk Winger's career.
They loved Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
And the one they said that there's an Alice in Chains one where they're like, maybe someday we can go out to Seattle and hang out amongst all that, which is cool.
Yeah.
they were nice to you guys. They're nice to Grant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's got a light coming out of his butt.
Right. and that was for a song, I believe, that we're going to play. Is that right? For Dirty Water?
Correct. Yeah,
for Dirty Water Ocean. And we're going to play that in just a moment. But so you guys initially got signed by, what was the label again?
It's called Medicine. It was a like subsidiary of Warner Brothers. So awesome. You know, like we're kind of on Warner Brothers,
sure,
which was nice, but yeah.
They must have put some gas in your tank as a youngster, you know, getting signed to this big label, and you guys probably saw all kinds of the world that, you know, you wouldn't have otherwise. Where did you guys get out to?
We got to play a tour with Rage Against the Machine.
Wow.
And Tool.
Wow.
In right
Europe.
When they were breaking.
Yeah, too, yeah. That was really, really great to see those pros. And
absolutely.
In Europe, that one was.
Yeah, it was insane.
Where else did you guys go with that?
We went to Paris and Amsterdam, and we played Reading Festival.
Wow.
Awesome.
We played Glastonbury.
Did you guys smoke any hash in Amsterdam?
Of course not.
You actually stayed.
Where?
I'll see you guys on the next.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm not leaving.
No.
I'm home.
I woke up in the middle of a field and wet, that's all I'll say.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So, yeah, let's go into the song that was featured, like you said, on Beavis and Butthead. It's Dirty Water Ocean is what we're going to go into. But, again, Saturday, October 7th, Green Apple Quick Step with the Lemons, L. Steiner, Action Buddy. Anyone, you guys want to say anything about Dirty Water Ocean? Introduce it?
I would just play it.
All right, let's let the music speak for itself. It's Loud and Local Green Apple Quick Step here on The Rock. It's Loud and Local. That was Dirty Water Ocean by Green Apple Quick Step. You can catch them next Saturday, October 7th, with the Lemons, L. Steiner, and Action Buddy. It's the Off Ramp and Hash After the Bash presents this show. It's been about 4 years since they played together. Yeah. And have you guys had a chance to practice yet? Or are you guys going to get that together next week?
The three of us have practiced.
Okay, awesome.
A couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody else is doing their homework.
Yeah.
And then we'll get together.
We're professionals.
Yeah.
We'll pull it off.
It's not rocket science.
So the time frame of which Green Apple Quick Step disbanded originally, what year was that?
98.
Uh-huh. What did you guys get into after that? Bands, family, life? What?
Me and Steve did a band called the Hula Bees, and then Dan and Steve are in the Briefs, or they started the
great
Briefs.
Great band, yeah.
Great band. And then Jeff, a bunch of bands.
I ended up in New American Shame.
Yeah.
And then ended up playing with Duff McKagan's Loaded.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right on, man. And other members? Do you know?
Ann was in the Briefs with Steve, and Marianne kind of kept her head down for a long time. Her and her husband now got a band called Smoke It and See.
Yes.
Well. I play with them as well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Cool, man. Well, okay, so thinking back to when you're little kids, and what was the first thing that made you fall in love with music? Was it Kiss? Was it classical music by your parents? Was it, you know, Donny Osmond? What made you fall in love with music?
It was Grease.
It was Grease? Okay, right on. That's your answer? Kiss?
Mine was the Carpenters.
Carpenters, awesome.
Kiss and ABBA.
Top of the world.
Okay, right on. Kiss and ABBA. Those are...
Oh, and that the first Christy McVie single off the whatever that first Fleetwood Mac record was, mm-hmm. with her.
Oh yeah,
that like You Make Love and Fun or something.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was like
talking about language.
Seven. We lived in Southern California, mm-hmm. and my mom would drive to tennis every day, and that song would be on the radio every day. And Top of the World. I was just like, what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aside from the Off Ramp, what were some other venues you guys liked to play back in the day? Obviously, you guys moved up to Seattle in the late 80s. What were some of your favorite venues other than the Off Ramp?
There's a lot. Rock Candy, we played a lot. You know, kind of the staples, Rock Candy and the Off Ramp. And, I mean, there's like the Ditto.
The Weathered Wall.
The Weathered Wall.
Yeah.
Jeez, I mean, we got to play like the Moor and the Paramount too. Like, it was pretty neat to just get to play pretty much every venue in Seattle.
What was the Squid Row?
Squid Row, yeah.
There's some horrible places to play.
I don't think we played the Sit and Spin, did we?
Some laundry?
We did. The Briefs played there. OK Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Played there a lot.
There we go.
Yeah, I love all those posts that people, when they put up the whole of the calendar.
Yes.
There's always, like, Inspector Love at the OK Hotel.
Oh, we see The Rock. I follow The Rocket on the Instagram, The Rocket 90s, and they always have some really cool stuff.
I talk to other people my age who, like, miss that, too, where I don't have the patience to, like, scroll on a phone to see what's going on in town tonight. When you spill this open up, or the old version of The Stranger, and they would just have all the show listings.
Yeah. Yep.
And you'd look in there and see your name and it'd make you proud, you know, when you're, like, a new playing.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. So, as far as, you know, favorite and in, like, this could be bands that are currently going today or bands that are long gone, seminal, you know, Heart or Jimi Hendrix or Smoke It and See. What are your favorite Northwest bands of all time? And whoever wants to jump in first.
Yeah, I definitely know mine, and it was Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Lane, probably one of the greatest singers.
Tell me about the first time you ever saw them. Do you remember?
I probably partied with them before I saw them. They were always around. I don't remember the first time I saw them. I've seen them a bunch of times.
Absolutely.
We played with them.
We played with them in,
good.
In
Olympia.
Olympia, right.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so hard to say favorite. I mean,
we can do a couple. You can just name a few.
Nirvana and Alice in Chains and Soundgarden. They were just the greatest bands of, you know, they were like, I don't know. It's like, it's so strange to, I mean, I loved your guys' band when it came out. It's like, it wasn't lost on everyone how amazing all these bands were. But now in hindsight, it's like, how did they all come from this little tiny place? You know?
Yeah.
So
I have a question. So you say your guys' band. Did you join Green Apple a little bit later? Or?
I was the last drummer.
Before
it went.
Okay.
Before it succumbed to the industry.
Okay. So do you kind of just always, were you a fan of Green Apple then before joining?
I was, yeah.
That's
really
cool.
Liked, I was a huge fan of Reloaded. I thought when that record came out, when I heard Los Vargos, I was like, okay, well, there's their hit. And I was a huge fan. And when I saw you guys without you, and it was like, it was okay. And then you guys were trying out drummers. I just wanted to play Los Vargos with you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what I wanted. It's like, cause that's like one of my favorite Seattle songs.
Yeah.
Bar none. And then we played and it was really fun and it was
awesome.
Energy was really good. So we did it.
And how long did you play? Did you get to play with it then?
Like 2 years.
2 years. Cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, because I'm still the drummer, so now it's been 17 years.
You're the one that's stuck. Nice. Yeah. All right. Continue. Same question. Favorite Northwest band or bands of all time, or artist? Doesn't have to be a band. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I always like obscure, like punk stuff.
Sure.
But you gotta say like Heart.
Yeah.
I mean, the 70s Heart is
so bad.
I'm a guitar player, and it's just so good, you know, in the harmonies. Like, you get bombarded with Heart, right? Just living in Seattle, but, you know, it's so good.
There's a reason.
Yeah, there's a reason. It's definitely cool to be from the Northwest and to be around, like, in the 90s when all these bands were blowing up because, you know, as a teenager in Tacoma, in the 80s, used to go to, I mean, I went to all like the all-ages punk shows. And, Soundgarden would be on those bills, and Mother Love Bone, and Green River, and the Melvins. Everybody hated the Melvins because they played slow, and we all wanted to slam dance.
Yeah, totally.
It was funny. And the Accused, who, you know, kind of turned into Grunt Truck.
Yeah.
But we used to see Nirvana play, you know, and like 20 people and parts and stuff. And at the time, you don't really think much of it, but all of a sudden, they're literally the biggest band in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trip. So it's cool. It's cool to be from Seattle.
Absolutely, man.
It was amazing to be able to listen to that record, Nevermind, the first time.
Yeah.
And like before anybody else knew what was about to happen to the world.
Yeah.
Because that song, like that was that was crazy.
Yeah, you know? I imagine.
Do you remember where you were when you first heard it? Smells like Teen Spirit.
I was at the OK Hotel the first time they ever played that song live.
Wow.
Oh.
And there's video of it. And it's like, the song is like, the chorus is twice, like, it's just 8, 8, 8. You know, they hadn't even made the song, and he didn't have the words yet.
Well, that's cool.
But the chorus was coming. The first time, you could sort of feel it was coming, and by the second time, everybody was waiting for it, and the place just explodes when the chorus comes in. It's,
wow.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you remember the first time you heard it?
Yeah, I do. And it's very uneventful. I was, I think, on a side street in a car waiting for someone to get weed.
As you used to do, yes.
You had to.
Yeah, you couldn't go to a store. You had to, like, wait, and it was on the radio. And
yeah.
That's where I was.
You know how many weirdos we used to run into just like waiting for weed, you know, and how many hours we wasted. And you never knew what you were getting either. It was just like, here's weed. That's what you're getting. Yeah. In a sack or something, you know, it's like, all right, here's your marijuana for the day. Cool. So is there as far as, you know, more shows, or is this kind of just what you have so far and then we'll just take it from there? So is it every few years you want to play shows, or is this?
I mean, one show at a time, I guess. Yeah.
Is there ever a future of writing new music, or is that kind of
door closed? So.
Doors,
yep. I mean, I just don't think so. Sure. I don't know. Maybe if you wrote a song, I'd fucking sing to it. Oops.
It's all good. We ain't live. That. We ain't live. It's all good.
The hard part is just, you know, getting all together in the same area. And I don't really like the sending music back and forth. And like, I don't think it usually turns out so hot. But we just do what we can. And whatever comes up, you know, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
Hey, I had to ask the question, journalism question.
There's a whole record that never came out.
Really?
Oh, right.
There it is.
Yeah.
Was it like shelved by the label? Was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The industry just imploded at the end of the 90s.
Shelved is such a harsh term.
Yeah. I mean, it could have gone out, but like the industry, the industry fell out from underneath what was happening. But, you know.
You know who played a song?
Yes.
Josh Freese.
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Because he's a studio drummer, right?
Yeah. It was a connection through Curtis Management, who managed Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And us at the time. That's where that came from.
I don't know. Well, we're going to go into one of your favorite Northwest songs of all time. So why don't you introduce it?
This one's called Barracuda. This is Los Vargos.
Yes, it is. It's Green Apple Quickstep. They're going to play Saturday, October 7th with the Lemons, L. Steiner, and Action Buddy. And we'll be back with more from Green Apple Quickstep. It's Loud and Local here on The Rock. Los Vargos here with Green Apple Quickstep. They're playing Saturday, October 7th at the off-ramp.
Yeah.
At El Corzo.
Yeah.
Should I call it the off-ramp for that? You know, it's the off-ramp. It's
the off-ramp. Off-ramp. All right, cool. Yeah.
They can call it Graceland if they want, which is kind of in-between name, you know. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's El Corzo now. Used to be called the off-ramp. I actually saw someone with an old off-ramp t-shirt the other day. I was like, that's cool, man. That's cool.
I don't know why he doesn't use that name. I think the trademark's open. It's got so much history.
Yeah.
It's associated with so much debauchery.
And that's a bad thing?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah. Hey, Dana, change the name.
Well, when we're talking, you know, the peak of, you know, rock star debauchery of the 90s, any stories? You know, going down to L.A., signing the big record deal. Any stories you can actually tell, or are these all things that, you know, you'd rather not radio?
I mean, I don't know if you want to say.
Yeah.
There's great ones, for sure.
I'm sort of married.
Just some drugs. Yeah, there we go.
I didn't do a ton of drugs.
I think I threw a fish on somebody at a show.
Ooh.
Somebody did coke off the console at Electric Ladyland.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What about
somebody?
What about when you guys were making the thing, the record, and like the Keith with the, you could tell he was coming with his crystal glass.
The record that never came out, we had, which was really not a good thing to have the Rolling Stones 20 feet down the hall.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was very cool.
What studio was that?
What
studio was it?
Ocean Way, I believe, in Los Angeles.
The Stones were recording down the street, or down the hall?
Down the hall.
Wow.
And you were just a Babylon, probably.
Yeah, and you could hear, you know, when Keith was coming in, because you got in his drink, in a, you know, a glass, coming down the hallway.
Wild.
Very cool. He came into our room, and he did some drugs.
Okay, nice.
In front of us.
Whose drugs were they?
They were ours.
Uh-huh.
And I got to meet Mick Jagger. He was sitting in a stairwell with two very young women.
Nice.
That was very cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, right. Well,
Mick didn't do drugs with you.
Huh?
Mick didn't do any drugs with you? Just Keith?
No, just Keith.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
Yeah. He's the one who has to jump around. He's not doing drugs.
But, yeah, that was not a good idea to have the Rolling Stones down the hall when you're trying to focus on making a record.
Fair enough,
Maybe that's why it got shelved.
Such a harsh term.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Is there any chance of that ever seeing light of day, or do they own the masters?
They own it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, it's on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
I mean, you could listen to it.
Yeah.
It's called New Disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they own it anymore. I think after a certain time, you'd have to go in and you have to file papers.
You could probably license it for a vinyl reissue or something. Or a vinyl, it wouldn't even be called reissue, right? It would be called an issue.
An issue?
Because you wouldn't even be reissuing anything. You'd be putting it out.
Right. Yeah. I think I've tried that and with no success.
I'm like poking and prodding you guys to try and do all. I'm like trying to get you guys in trouble, man. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. This guy's going to get us canceled. Oh, man. Well, again, the show Saturday, October 7th is Green Apple Quick Step, the band you're listening to right now with The Lemons, L. Steiner, and Action Buddy. So,
Lemons.
Tell me about these other bands that we're going to be seeing. So I saw L. Steiner last summer, got to find out about them. I do not know about Lemons and Action Buddy. Tell me, school me.
I don't really know much about The Lemons. I just know I used to see them. And,
okay.
They kind of had like a good... sort of like Ramones, but with the dude from Faster Pussycat singing is the best I can describe.
Yeah. Nice.
I love
it.
I thought they were great.
They got, so Jimmy Paulson is the singer, and Brent Saunders is the bass player.
Okay.
And they're, I don't know the other two guys, but they're amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Action Buddy, when we first moved to Seattle from Tacoma, they were like one of the bands that we latched on to, or like we wanted, you know, can we play a party with you? We thought they were the coolest.
Dan Harris is the bass player.
Yeah.
He's the greatest guy on the planet.
Nice. Yeah, just like really, really good, like funky rock.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a while.
Stick around for some hash after the bash, too.
Yeah.
And then the Friel Brothers are... in L. Steiner, and
that's
those
right.
guys are, you know, Seattle legends.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely, man. So again, Saturday, October 7th, Green Apple Quick Step at the Off
the Vogue.
The Off. Oh, hey, the Vogue.
That's what I forgot about.
That's nice. Really,
Vogue was great. Yeah,
that was cool.
And tickets are available now. You can get them at the door as well if you want to be cool and get them at the door. But they are available now. LCorazoneSeattle.com.
Oh, and it sounds like it's going to be, so doors at 7, show starts at 8.
Awesome. Sounds
so
good.
So don't be an old person and get there late.
Absolutely, man. Get there on time. Catch these bands. Get your hash on the hash after the bash. Any final words or shout outs or thank yous before we jump into Tangled?
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks to Castle for making this connect.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah. And right on. Well, let's go into it. It's Tangled. See them Saturday, October 7th at the Off-Ramp. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
You. Thank you.
Cheers.
Looking under the washing machine, I'm picking up a bottle of mine. daddy a change. Or maybe my old blue jeans I haven't worn in a year. But deep in a pocket I found a whole dollar bill.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.